Who's afraid of Sandberg?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Somebody this is didn't the have Steve Cochran on. Show on 720 WGN.
I'd like to start the show in a smooth fashion.
Friday.
Have no place to go, darling. 6:11. A lot of traffic in the studio this morning. Dave, you brought a date.
I didn't bring the date.
Well, somebody's sitting in your lap.
I believe John DeCoste brought the date.
John DeCoste is here, the musical director of the show, with a small friend. Seems to have taken a liking to Dave. Who is your small friend?
Her name is Madison. Little Madison, who we got on Sunday. We adopted her from Right Way Rescue Center in Morton Grove.
It took a while to get there because there's been I wouldn't know that you meant puppy because you said Madison and we got her and uh-huh. we're like a little uh-huh. friend. There's a lot uh-huh. going on. It took a while for the radio audience.
It's a dog. Yeah, it is a dog. Yes.
That's kind of where I was taking you.
Yeah.
By the way, Madison is a full-bred rabid wolf. So Dave,
you could
very,
fool
very
me.
Very cuddly.
She's ferocious.
Very.
We're
cuddly.
Just lucky it's not a full moon cycle.
Exactly. What kind of dog is it?
It's a boxer terrier mix, is what she is. So,
Mom was a tramp. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, can't say that.
She's listening.
Is she right there?
Yeah. I don't think she's
right
seen
there.
Enough HBO to
Wait,
know
how
what
old
that
is
means.
She? I can't see her.
I also
Dave is blocking her. Dave is blocking her.
Can everybody see her?
Oh,
now?
There she is.
Lift her up like Simba.
Dave,
she's so cute.
How old is she?
She will be 3 months in a week and a half, I think.
I'll tell you a quick story. The second or third job I had, I guess it was the third job, first time I had ever moved away, I moved to Charleston, South Carolina. The program director, is going to shock you, I wasn't a big fan, and brought our puppy into work one day. And, you know, let the puppy run around while I was on the air. Came in the Monday. This is a Friday show, much like today.
Dave is now handing off the dog.
Well, I don't want to monopolize.
Thanks for stopping the story. And I came in on Monday. And on Monday, there was a ruckus. There's a lot of trouble. And the management was having some sort of meeting. Turns out someone brought a dog into work, and the dog took a giant dump in the program director's office.
Oops.
Well... Here's a weird story. Don't go by your desk.
That
was not the dog. That's
we're
the
not
weird
supposed
part,
to so. Eat in the new studios, but I don't know what they said about pee pads, which we now have in the new studio.
That's for John.
Yeah, I've had a rough night.
Yeah.
That Northwestern thing has just got me.
How'd Northwestern do, Dave?
It was a rough night. 62-50 loss to Minnesota.
They're really setting up the Big Ten tournament well because nobody's going to see them coming at this point.
that's for sure.
So
they're going to have to play on Wednesday, it looks like.
We're feeling for Coach.
Yeah. It's been tough. It's
been a rough year. A lot of injuries.
Nah, not that many.
Finals.
Huh?
Midterms.
I'm looking for reasons. Year. That happens every year.
I'm out. I got nothing else. We can do the top six at six. Ready, set. Maddie, is that all right with you? Maddie says that's fine. Actually, you know what? We can't do the top six at six.
Yeah, why don't we do it? We'll do it after the break.
And for those wondering, we cannot solve any of your household issues because Lou Manfredi's on vacation today. So
yeah, there's no Lou's first call.
I
can do it.
We could.
Yeah, we'll take calls. Let's see if anybody... No, seriously, 312-981-7200. We have no handymen on this show. Let's see if any of us can figure out what your problem is.
My first answer caller. Is just forget about it. Just pretend it's not there.
Call someone.
312-981-7200. More from John and his new friend Maddie. And Dave and John are having a love triangle with Maddie. It's a whole thing.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Top six at six plus a bonus segment, John's new puppy coming up in just a second. Item number one, Amtrak Metro Union Station officials all say sorry. 60,000 people were stranded last night when only one train could go in or out at a time due to what, mechanical? Is that what we know?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
It was a communications issue with the automated system.
What does that mean?
Automated system.
Does not compute.
Does not work. And they had to use manual controls throughout the day to get everybody in and out.
60,000 people.
And they're still trying to figure out the root cause of what caused that. So
the cause of the cause.
The cause of the cause. So there's, you know, the root cause.
So there's people right now at Union Station trying to get home last night for dinner.
Yeah.
Did you see the Uber?
Power was restored around 9 o'clock.
Did you see the Uber surge fees?
Yeah.
$100, $150, $160.
Is that right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How is that legal?
I know, right?
Exactly.
They surged it because people were driving out to the suburbs. It also, again, shines a light on when everything needs to be automated. And when that automation breaks down, usually it's the consumer that's affected, meaning we have to pay more because computers from Amtrak broke. And I don't understand that at a certain point, I think it should be the other way. If the automated system, which you are paying into, breaks, it should be free, or it should, you know, like something. But
well, I don't understand why there's not a human backup plan that's better than okay, it's your turn.
Yeah,
I just wonder what Metro's going to do now, because after the polar vortex, they awarded people free tickets all weekend.
Yeah, and they're not making a bunch
of
money.
I don't know what they're going to do after
Metro's
this debacle.
They're having a tough bad 2019
year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cheaper to stay in a hotel last night than go home.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I used to be a daily commuter on the train, and the frustrating thing about getting a free ride is if I'm a monthly buyer,
who cares?
That doesn't do anything for me. A free ride, I already paid for the whole month.
Yeah,
so what are you doing for me now?
And that's how they encourage you to purchase. You know, the idea of a single ride that doesn't exist for commuters.
That's how they get you. That's how my father would say.
And that segment's gone. That's how they get you.
Anyway, if you were stuck in that, I'm sorry. And if you're still stuck in it, I'm sorry. And not a single thing I can do for you other than say, here's a hug.
I wonder who's going to ride the Metro this morning.
Well, everybody.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, if that's
upset.
How you get to or from work, I don't think you ride this morning. You know, you hope
for
the best.
Or you revenge drive.
Traffic wasn't any heavier than normal.
No, it's Friday. It's always lighter.
But you know, based on the train problem, you would have thought traffic would be heavier. It wasn't really.
Yeah.
So.
Well, trains don't start till 5, so. Well, that's true. You came after. Sorry.
Two of you guys want to. We can go outside.
Okay, bye.
Jeez. Next. Thank you, Maddie. The House Oversight Committee still has questions from the Cohen hearings and is looking to interview the Trump family now. The GOP is referring Cohen testimony to the Department of Justice for perjury. Meanwhile, the president walks away from a deal in North Korea after the summit and agrees with Kim Jong-un's statements that he just didn't know about Otto Warmbier, the college student who tore down a poster of him who was tortured, sent home in a vegetative state, and died. This would be the third time in recent memory that Trump has taken the word of a dictator over his own intelligence services, the murder of a Saudi Arabian / American journalist, obviously Vladimir Putin, and now this. Next. Plans for a new Chicago Police Academy passed through a city council zoning committee yesterday. Both mayoral candidates are trying to put a stop to this project. Or at least postpone it so a new mayor can make a decision.
Yeah. They're shoving it. They're going fast. Get it done before the new mayor comes in.
I don't know. At what point is it drop dead time where you can't undo it?
Well, I don't know.
When you open the door?
It doesn't seem like anything can be undone or not undone at this point. But, yeah, it's strange because it's a big issue on the campaign trail. It wasn't the primary. There were some that were way for it, some that were way against it. I think both of these candidates are kind of in the middle. Both of them, I think Lori Lightfoot's more about she doesn't want the location in the 37th Ward where Emma Mitz is at. That's the alderman who today said, mind your business, which was great. And then I believe Toni Preckwinkle just said her argument is just it's not this council or this mayor's decision to make. So
it's an odd thing to Bigfoot. I mean, you either need it or you don't, and everybody seems to agree you need it. So why wait?
I think there's a.
You want one more thing on your plate?
Well, it's expensive in a time when there's a fiscal cliff coming, and there's just a question of why prioritize this over other things.
Next, Maddie sounds good, and the consistency to be able to do that same bark over and over again is very impressive.
I know. Well, she's a daughter of the musical director, so she sings very well.
Very strong. Chicago's sinking. And I don't mean economically. 4 inches a century. A centimeter every decade. Why? Ice sheets melt. Some areas spring up. Others sink. Southern part of Lake Michigan is sinking as well. As a matter of fact, if you stand really still right now, you can't feel it.
How does it affect you? This is the, I was reading this. I'm like, what a great nature history story. Every decade, it's 4 inches. But the takeaway was that our sewer system.
Every century, 4 inches. Our, centimeter a decade.
Yeah, centimeter a decade. Four inches every century. That our sewer systems, even with the minuscule changes of direction, it can have a vast impact on how all of our sewer systems are set up in the area.
I'm going to tell you right now. Eventually, we're all going to die.
That's a good point.
Next. Gap is splitting up with Old Navy, the parent company that owns the Gap. Old Navy, Banana Republic. Are there still Banana Republics?
Yes, there is.
Announced that Old Navy will spin off into its own company. The past few years have seen the Old Navy thrive while Gap and Banana Republic have struggled. You know, here's my independent research. I know where the Gap is, and there's always people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how they're struggling.
Do you, Mary, do you shop at either of those stores?
I do shop at Gap or Banana Republic
Not
sometimes. I worked at Gap, so Dave Ennett only wears Gap jeans.
No, well, that's not only. I also wear Banana Republic jeans.
Okay, yeah.
And I do shop at Banana Republic.
Are there any Old Navy shoppers in the room?
No. Me.
Mary?
I shop at Old Navy a lot. My kids like, I like the activewear at Old Navy.
That's what my good. Mom likes their leggings.
It seems that brand has, at one point, was for teenagers. And that brand has expanded, and that's probably why you're seeing an increase in their area. But I feel like I'm in Old Navy every third day.
Well, they always have great deals. They always have great deals, and my
Not
kids.
Not necessarily for me, but
my kids love to shop
my
there.
Kids, for Miles and for Julie, but
we're helping the veterans.
Yeah, that's.
I thought you only shopped at Kohl's.
I do shop Kohl's for jeans. Old Navy for $3 T-shirts.
My husband gets his pool T-shirts at Old Navy, the ones he wears at the pool on vacation.
Meanwhile, if you need anything from Walmart, I'll be there later today.
Yeah. But not as a greeter, because they're gone.
No, I couldn't get the gig. I'll also be at Walgreens. I only go to stores that have Wall in the title. Listen, that's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
So John DeCause, musical director of the program and puppy owner, is your third dog?
Yeah, we have.
What are you compensating for?
Oh boy, my car.
Your car's not big enough.
My car's not big enough.
So this
flex.
This little cutie, Maddie, is how old?
She will be 3 months in a week.
How big will she get?
They say about 25 to 30 pounds.
Well, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
That's portable.
Katie, our second dog, is about 50 pounds, and Chelsea is 73 pounds.
Are you going to stop at three, or you don't know?
No, I want 9 before the end of the month.
Well,
the litter.
Depending on how you play it could work out that way.
Are we going to get a weight on your son, your other child, since we got the three weights of the dogs?
You guys probably don't even talk to your son now, right? He's grown up. Why talk to him?
Yeah, and he's actually weighs less than Maddie.
Maddie is in studio with us this morning, and here's what I remember about a puppy. It's like a baby. You don't sleep.
No, absolutely the opposite. She sleeps through the night. She's been phenomenal. She sleeps with the other two dogs.
But that's
on their
not normal.
Bed. You know, it hasn't been. No, actually, we've been pretty lucky. Jackie picks them out. But you're right. They're up.
Normally, dogs are up.
Normally, dogs are all over the place.
So. John needs to take a class in yes and for the improv over here. You're supposed to say yes.
By the way, here's what cracked me up. So I got here this morning, and Mary goes, oh, this is good. You're here for the visit. And then typical Mary, this is what she does.
We're talking about Sandberg.
Yes, Mary Sandberg. I apologize. She knows. Look at the smile already. She goes, you know, no offense, but nobody's really even thought about the fact that you weren't here
this week. Well, because you said,
wow.
Oh,
and I go, wow. I go, that's, jeez, and I said, well, thank you.
Wow,
I said, that's Mary.
You too.
That is so Mary.
Well, I was like, why'd you change your mind and decide to come in? And he said, well, Steve, you know, said you should come and sit in like you usually do. And I said, well, I don't think anyone really is like, where's John this week?
Wow, what a sweet thing.
You know,
sweet
it doesn't get any less harsh, the retelling of it.
That's, but to me, I know. That's the best part.
Well, what I
but
really
it's so
meant
good.
To say is, John, nobody wants you. That's
The hassle, because the dog has a cough, so he can't take it to daycare, and so it just is a hassle.
It sounds like if you had just left Maddie and gone down and sat in the car, it would have been better.
I would have been okay with that.
John, I like when you're here, buddy.
Yeah. You're very kind.
Mary's just lost her filter 30 years. Yeah.
By the way, I'm on the fence about you.
Okay.
So you have any puppy advice? Not for the puppy, for puppy owners.
You know what? When we went to get her on Sunday, it's a gut feeling. It is absolutely a gut feeling. We saw three or four dogs. She was the first one I saw, and I was torn up inside because they said her siblings were all taken on Saturday, and she was left alone. And I go, that's it. And when we went to go look at another dog, I gave the guy. I said, here's my wallet. Here's the keys to my car. You will not let that dog. And no one else can see that dog. And he laughed. And I had a nightmare about it.
So you had like a mafia sort of moment with the shelter?
Here's how it's going to go. All right? It's real simple. All right?
How much does it cost? Now, you don't have to give me the specific number, but it'd be good if you did. How expensive is it to get a dog now?
It varies, but for...
Did you have to get the accessories, like delivery charges, white wall tires?
Yeah, handling, shipping and handling, because we didn't want to take her home. And she came in an Amazon box.
But is it hundreds of dollars?
It's $325. But here's the thing. That's at an adoption. It's gone up. I think our first dog, Bailey, in 2000 was $125. The next dog, Chelsea, was $175, $225, and 6 years later. But I...
What do you get for that? Do you get shots?
You do, yeah. She's full, and she gets a coupon to be spayed.
What a terrible coupon!
It's a good coupon. We're going to use it.
So she has the shots before you get her,
correct?
But then, do you take her to the vet and have her checked out?
We already took her to the vet. Mm-hmm. I took her to the vet, and she was fine. Everything was good. She's got this little cough, which was Mary Sandberg was talking about. It's a little what do they call it? Kennel cough. And her whole litter had it, so she's on medication. But that's why we couldn't drop her off at a daycare.
You know? Well, she's a beautiful little puppy.
She is.
John will have more puppy tips.
Is she contagious?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she's now tested negative, but she still has a little cough. Plus, she smokes, and that's issue.
Yeah. Or it's at that size, it's really sad.
It's Paul Malls will kill you.
You're a terrible parent.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
6:40. This is the part of the show where we try to teach you a little bit about business by learning through osmosis. And that is from somebody that's getting it done, a CEO that's getting it done. Sponsored by Signature Bank.
That's right, a CCO in this case. Jason Erkes is here. He is the Chief Communications Officer for Cresco Labs. And you may have seen Cresco in the news recently. They're really at the forefront of there was a new law that changed when it came to medical marijuana at the end of last year. This was actually enacted by Governor Rauner's administration that would look at medical marijuana to replace opioids when it comes to pain relief and for prescriptions. And Cresco's at the forefront of making that happen. And Jason's in studio. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So this really is off of the legislation. From a business standpoint, when a government makes a change or passes a law and business comes out of that, how fast do you have to mobilize to make that happen?
Pretty fast. I mean, luckily the program was already in place. You know, there were already medical marijuana dispensaries and cultivators in the state. And what this new law did was really open up access to people. People that would be prescribed an opioid for any condition, people that had opioid addiction, it gave them the alternative of using medical cannabis instead. So it really just opened up access to people that are in pain, people that have addiction problems, from grandmothers that might have surgery that don't want an opioid with an awful side effect, to construction workers or athletes that were suffering from a work condition. You can now get it and use it as an alternative to opioids.
How important is it? And I know this is a kind of a callous question, but how important to the business of medical cannabis has been the disintegration of opioids? I mean, the idea of addictions and finding out more and more about that pain medication and how it's bad for us, and you know, it's really has been a scourge on America. How important has it been for the growth of medical cannabis?
I think it's been critical. I mean, as I travel around the country and go market to market, that's the number one issue you hear people talk about. Everyone is one degree away separated from someone that has some kind of opioid issue, whether it's an addiction problem, whether it's something that you know, they're on it and the side effects are awful. It's destroying their quality of life. So cannabis is really looked at as an alternative, and alternative that's non-addictive, an alternative that, you know, you don't have those awful side effects that are really taken away from living a quality every day.
Are these edibles, oils, how are they administered?
Everything. You know, we have, believe it or not, we have close to 500 different products that we make. I mean, we make pills and patches and oils. People think that...
Can you combine them with Pringles to take care of the after?
You know, people think that using cannabis is really just firing up a joint like it was in the old days. And
but I would think that's a block for people because there's a generational block to the idea of marijuana. So if it could be administered more as a drug, people are more likely to use it, right?
You can get cannabis in the same way you get every other medicine. When you walk down the aisle at Walgreens or CVS and you see cold medicine and flu medicine and headache medicine, whether it's a pill, a patch, a gummy, you know, something that you can vape, a tincture, a lotion, an oil, it comes in every form you can imagine.
What determines what I get?
You do. You're the consumer. So, you know.
So it's not medically dependent on what the condition is?
Right. All a doctor's doing in the state of Illinois, whether you have one of the debilitating conditions or whether you're getting it for under the opioid program, is they're just saying that you can use cannabis for whatever condition you have. When you go into a dispensary, you're sitting down with a patient care person that's really talking about what your condition is, what strain might help you, and then what means of absorbing or consuming it you know, would help with your condition.
What pain management doesn't apply? Like, if I have a headache, I'm not going to get be able to get a prescription.
Under this new law, anything that you would be prescribed an opioid for, you can get cannabis and alternative. You have to ask your doctor. Your doctor has to go online to the Department of Health and do a quick registration, and then they're able to give you a recommendation online. And another point to make is for a long time, the program in Illinois was taking you 3 months to get a card.
Right.
Can you imagine going to your doctor, getting a prescription, and then being told, yeah, you can get your medicine in 3 months,
I feel
right?
bad. Can I have the medicine 3 months from now?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but now they've really changed the program and made it in a way where you can get your card the same day. You're going online, you're getting an email to your phone the same way you would a concert ticket, and you're walking into that dispensary, showing your phone, and you get immediate access to medicine.
It seems there's been a boon. It's a gold rush for medical cannabis all around the country, and not just medical. You know, there's going to be other states, including Illinois, that are looking at legalizing marijuana.
Sure.
But it seems like when you're in business, and it is a gold rush, it's so dependent on government. It's so dependent on the politics of this, because you could just, the wind blows one way and then marijuana is bad, you know, and you've seen this over time in the last couple decades. How do you, from a business standpoint, project and predict the future of politics when it comes to the product you're trying to sell?
I mean, it's hard. It's a challenge. But you know, you look at it and you have to forecast what the regulation is going to be. We're fortunate right now in Illinois. We've got a governor that supports it. We have a speaker of the House with a supermajority, nonetheless, that supports it. And we just got two mayoral candidates for Chicago, the biggest city in the state, that support it. So things are looking positive in Illinois. But with all this talk about adult use legalization, no one really knows what the law is going to look like. And how it's going to affect the businesses that are in the industry today. So, you know, it's something we're involved in. We have a seat at the table. We're participating in the conversation, and you know, hope that things are good in the future.
For people who want to invest, with everybody and their brother getting in and trying to get an IPO set up as fast as possible, how do we know which company to invest with other than yours?
Well, as a publicly traded company, I don't think I'm allowed to give investment advice. But
in the big picture, you can say we're doing a nice job. And
yeah, so. You know, what you want to look at are the companies that are establishing a national footprint, these multi-state operators that have roots that go beyond one state, beyond one market, you know, that are, you know, there's companies that are involved in the production of products, and there's companies that own the retail stores. You know, there's the Advil, and then there's the Walgreens.
Right.
So you want to look at companies that are involved in an aspect of the business that's attractive to you that you think has longevity.
Sandberg?
Is there a difference between how you get ready, like for if they legalize marijuana in Illinois, does the dispensary experience change at all based on you have patient consultants for the people that are there for medical reasons, and then you have people walking in the door that are there for recreational reasons, like... How does that experience change your business model?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not totally sure. I mean, we don't know what the regulation and what the legislation is going to be. There's a lot of bills being tossed around. But what it looks like now is that Illinois will have both an adult use program, a recreational program, and a medical program. And the benefit of that is the people that have that medical card will pay less from a tax standpoint. That's a big challenge that a lot of states face is they pass a recreational bill and everybody wants a piece of the pie. You've got a city tax, a state tax, a county tax that are all added on. So... you know, and that tax could be, you know, 20% or 30%. Where if you have that medical program, you'll get taxed lower and be able to get your medicine less expensive. So, you know, it appears that the discussion is going in a way where each dispensary will be both. So the existing dispensaries right now that are medical dispensaries will convert and be adult use and medical, where you'll have to show that ID and kind of qualify yourself as what type of consumer you are when you walk in the door. But, you know, right now, cannabis is unknown. As Steve was saying, people don't know about all the different products. So you're sitting down with a patient care specialist and really learning and understanding. A big part of this is education.
A friend of mine, Tina Spandella, she's the political reporter at the Sun-Times, and she wrote an op-ed this week about her mom and her opioid addiction and the challenges they had with getting a medical marijuana card because the doctor never sent in the approval for it. How much, because you need the doctors to sign off on this for you to get your clients. Do you have liaisons trying to help doctors come on board? Where's that at?
Yeah, from a regulatory standpoint, we're not really allowed to help patients through the process here in the state, but we certainly answer questions and want to guide people through the process. There's certain doctors that support it and certain doctors that don't. I mean, a simple Google search will tell you who's who.
Jason, I think that there's from a marketing standpoint, from a communication standpoint, when you're talking about business like this, there's a thought in people's heads about dispensaries. They think of head shops. They think in, you know, the old style, oh, you walk into and this is where I buy my bong and maybe they'll have weed in there as well, right?
But this Grateful I mean, Dead music yeah, playing when you walk in.
But this it's such a different experience.
It's such a different experience, and you've grown to 500 employees in the last year.
Yeah.
I've been added to Cresco. This is not a mom and pop business.
Not at all. I mean, this is a major industry. It's one of the fastest growing industries, no pun intended, if there's a drum shot.
We don't do puns. You're fine.
But, it's not the experience people see in pictures on the news. And, you know, we're working very hard. Cresco's working very hard to change that. We want to normalize and professionalize the industry. It frustrates me when I see the TV news stations doing a story and they're using video of a bud tender sticking his hand into a glass jar and pulling out a bud and letting someone smell it before you buy it.
Dude.
That's not the way it works these days. Everything is prepackaged, tested, weighed, consistent, dosed. It's literally like walking down the drugstore aisle at Walgreens.
And is Canada having any influence?
It's a positive influence because what you're seeing is that they legalized it in Canada and there's no negative impact. I mean, it's a very positive thing.
The point being, order prescription drugs from Canada. That's a huge market. You can't legally do that with marijuana.
You can't legally get marijuana from Michigan. You can't cross state lines, let alone country lines. So that's the other unique thing about the industry is it's siloed at every
Cresco.
State. What's that?
There's a protection for Cresco and companies in this country.
Yeah. For every company, state by state, you have that regulated license, which is very highly coveted, and you're manufacturing, producing, and selling and consuming in that state. In every state that we're in, seven states now, so it's you can't cross state lines with it. So if you're in that state, it all stays in that state. We can't make something and ship it to.
You also have to follow the rules of that state. So Maryland's going to be different than Illinois and Wisconsin, whatever it might be down the line.
Following the regulatory processes in each state is quite cumbersome. It's different every market that we're in. We have different rules to follow.
That's weird. If you think about it from a business standpoint, especially in America. There's not a lot of industries like that where each state has a different set of rules for you to be able to do business there.
Yeah. How we communicate to patients or customers, how our packages are labeled, it's different in every market that we're in.
I would think on some level, cost can be really prohibitive, right? You got to be very careful because of all the rules you have to follow.
Yeah, that and you have to replicate your business in every market. So you have a business in Illinois and you have a team and you're manufacturing, you're processing, your distribution, your dispensaries, then you have to take that and replicate that exact same process in another state and in another state and in another state. And, you know, a big part of normalizing and professionalizing the industry is making sure that cannabis product that the consumer gets is the same. We want to make sure that it's the same dose and that it tastes the same and that it has the same effect the same way you would a regular consumer package good. If you're buying a Snickers, if you're buying Advil, if you're drinking a Bud Light, it's the same wherever you buy in the country. And that's a big part of our mission is to make sure that our products in every dispensary across the country are exactly the same.
We're way out of time here, but a couple of quick questions from the audience. Would you ask, cannabis is not FDA registered or approved, how do you know it's safe and you guys are taking care of that end of it?
Yeah, and the states are taking care of that. I mean, we're very highly regulated. All the products are tested for pesticides. They're tested for purity and for potency. So the consumer these days, you know exactly what you're getting when you buy it.
And as a publicly traded company, you're held to a higher standard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another one from the 630. Is cannabis absorbed into your system? And if I get stopped by police and they test me, could I get a DUI?
That's a great question.
It is in your system, but it's not a DUI. Work, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a DUI. You know, there aren't a lot of laws that support that right now, but I would imagine...
that'll change.
Yeah, I'd imagine that'll change
just
in some capacity.
Just like you shouldn't drive if you take, you know, a Dramamine or something, you know, probably it's similar.
Yeah. And that one question I brought in, last one here, is just about insurance companies. At a certain point, does medical cannabis get covered by... Will insurance companies get on board?
I mean, I think if it becomes legal nationally from a medical standpoint, I think they'll have to. You know, right now, being that it's state by state, they don't. But, you know, that's a big thing. They'll pay for the opioids, they'll pay for the other drugs, but they won't pay for this.
And is legalized marijuana bad for the medical marijuana business?
No, it's great. Listen, we support opening up access and for people having access to this plant and all the, you know, the fantastic things it can do. So, you know, we definitely support it.
Sore knees, does it work for sore knees? Not asking for me. it works for all levels of pain that are opioid dependent, yes?
I'm not a doctor, but there's a lot of reports that say it helps with pain, it helps with nausea, it helps with side effects from other medications, so yeah.
All right, nice to see you.
Jason Urquhart is the Chief Communication Officer for Cresco Labs, and he's our guest today on Download of Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Jason, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Said an odd moment. Pete Zimmerman just brought John's dog, Maddie, back in the studio, and Pete used the pee pad. I didn't see that coming.
And
it was very strange.
She might have missed the pee pad.
Very strange.
So there you go, Bill. Hope Bill's listening.
A little something special on a carpet?
A little something special for the new studio.
We're going to have Eddie Johnson in here later, and he'll be like, sorry, there was a dog that peed in here.
I don't think they'll bring in the crime lab to test it. You know, she's new. She's new. She's intimidated. All right. I asked you before, tips for puppies. Give me two others.
I would always rescue. I would always adopt. I was just telling Todd when he came in, Todd Manley, that we have friends, and to each his own, but we have friends who have driven to three states away and paid an exorbitant amount of money because they saw a dog on the internet.
Right. Well, sometimes you're in the market for a very specific hypoallergenic, hairless, or non-shedding, you know, and... You don't. When you adopt, you might not get
exactly what you're getting.
I don't know. Do they do 23andMe for the dogs?
Yeah, they do, actually. There is a DNA thing for dogs.
Yeah, my daughter just did hers.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of rescues, too, that you might be able to actually find one of those dogs, Mary, if you do a breed-specific rescue that actually has them. So look, you know, like John said, look around. You might be surprised.
The thing I don't get, though, is the DNA thing for the dog. Like, when we did 23andMe, you had to spit in a test tube. And I mean, literally, you had to fill a test tube with saliva. How do you get the dog to spit?
Well, you just tell him to spit into the tube. It takes a while.
That is one smart dog.
We take advantage. When we go to the dentist, when we say spit, we take that as well. So we try to
make sense.
Those. Yeah.
Makes
and we
sense.
Found out she's Madison. We had the test on. She's 40% Italian, 30% French, Middle Eastern European or something. So I was kind of thrown off by that. Just a little Russian.
You have a 14-year-old dog?
We have she will be 14.
And a 7-year-old dog.
And a 5-year-old dog.
So those two dogs, are they relieved or are they annoyed?
Katie, who is the middle dog, she's 5-year-old, was a little annoyed. She did a very funny thing, and anybody who has dogs would probably know what I'm talking about. She turned her back to both of us when we brought the dog in. She got on the couch and turned her back to us like, I am not talking. And her neck went back and forth.
How dare you?
Attitude. And then she snapped her paw. Which I thought was interesting.
She said, talk to the paw?
Yeah, she goes, talk to the paw, snap.
Talk to the paw because the ears ain't listening.
That's right. So,
but the older, relieved?
The older is fine. I think the older one just relaxes and they cuddle up together and they all sleep together on their beds. So
pretty sweet, huh?
It's pretty good. It's been fairly smooth, so it's all good.
Well, congratulations to you and Maddie, who's now marked her territory here in the studio. A couple of texters chiming in. Pet Finders is apparently a rescue in St. Francis, petfinders.com. And another texter in 847, say no to puppy mills. And yes, if looking for a specific breed, find a rescue that specializes in that breed. Rescue always.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It's 7:12, my Friday friend, Bridget Gaynor's here. She doesn't like me during the rest of the week, but she likes me on Fridays. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You look fabulous as always.
Wow, thank you very much.
And congratulations.
It's harder every day, but, you know, we're
Why are you looking at me when you say that? On Tuesday night,
yeah,
I turn on my TV because I turned it off for a while. Then I turned it back on. I turned it off and I turned it back on. And you did what I thought was a rousing introduction of Tony Preckwinkle, and it was needed. The crowd was ready to be revved up. Ladies and gentlemen, your next mayor of the city of Chicago, Tony Preckwinkle. Crowd goes bananas. Tony wasn't there.
She was not. She was not.
So then you had to do like 15 minutes of mime. Walking in a box.
Who doesn't love mime? Everybody loves mime.
Isn't that the warm-up act? That's what Bridget was warm-up.
She, you know, she was the hype man.
Hype man.
Yeah, hype man. Yeah.
So it was a hype mime.
Hype mime. That's exactly right. Where was she? And how was she not there?
I think that the speakers got ahead of themselves, and she was coming up to me.
What,
I don't know. She ran into somebody.
What do you mean?
You know, look, I think
glad hands, she's shaking hands with people,
yeah,
things like that.
I think what happened was she was coming in and ran into a bunch of people, and like, you know
what you do when you run into
no.
a bunch of people and it's 10 o'clock at night? You go, the news is on right now. Stay right here. I'll be right back.
Yeah. She needs people around her to be like, clear the field, like the boxers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the thing. If we're going to have her run the city, we're going to need her to know how to get on TV on time.
Well, maybe you should say, isn't it good to have a politician who's more focused on the people than just being on TV?
Nope.
Nope, not going to say that.
No, I have my priorities right. Make sure you get TV.
You're
right.
TV. You're a media guy, so yeah, you guys should be the most important.
All right, so we don't need to get too deep into this because obviously you're supporting Tony Preckwinkle.
Yeah.
But having said that, we were talking off the air a second ago. Experience versus inexperience running a giant organization.
Look, that's where it comes down to for me. I mean, the city of Chicago, think of it. It's a $10 billion corporation. It's got a couple hundred thousand employees. It's got massive assets, huge responsibilities. And I think the idea that you would have someone come in who has other talents, clearly smart person, you know, a lot of capabilities, but has never run anything, and then to have them run a really complicated government. Because the thing about government that's different is, in any other $10 billion corporation, you have a lot more latitude over your employees. You have a lot more decision about what you do. A lot of what you do isn't on the front page of the paper every single day, putting pressure on you to make popular decisions instead of potentially the right decisions. And never having done that before, I think that's a lot to expect someone to understand how to do on day one.
How big a deal will Rahm Emanuel be in this race? And is it going to be about the Rahm screwed up, we have to fix it? Because I hope it's not that, because they need to talk about what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's two ways Rahm plays it. I don't think he has a close relationship with either one of these people. And I think that's part of the problem. I think that he is kind of fading in the background way more than I would have thought. He didn't come up, I think, in the last couple months, even the last month of the campaign. I don't think he's loomed that large. So it'll be interesting if he inserts himself into the middle of it.
What about the candidates? Will the candidates make him an issue?
I don't think so. I think they're on the same page when it comes to, we think Rahm did a bad job.
Yeah, voters already in the primary made that clear, that this was almost an anti-Rahm Emanuel mandate in the way that both of these candidates who won the runoff ran anti-Rahm campaign.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's a tedium to that, tediousness to that.
They maybe that's already been put away.
There's tediousness to that. If both candidates make this about Rahm screwed up the city, I'm here to fix it. Because I think more so than ever, we're seeing people want to hear what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Not what you didn't do or what people in the past didn't do.
Exactly. Look, it's got to be forward-looking. It's got to say, we have huge problems. You got to figure out a way to navigate a total culture change in the police department. You got to figure out how to navigate a massive financial problem, not just the pensions, but, you know, the ongoing budget. And I don't think anyone's interested in hearing about the past. They want to hear about the future.
Yeah. Okay, the question, obviously looking at the totals and who did well in different areas, the strategy is going to be so fun to watch how these candidates take on the city. But it is interesting to see, as much as you talk about experience, it seems that the voters, especially with a vote for Lori Lightfoot, who was the top vote getter, and even a vote for Willie Wilson and some others in some areas, show that there is this appetite in Chicago for a clean sweep, for new people, for people who may have not be part of the system, not be part of the establishment.
See, I think about this, and if you look back on prior mayor's races, this proves out. This is almost like, this is the girl you date, and then you decide who you're going to marry in the general election. It's a protest vote. It's a, look, the 13th, you know, the whole northwest side, southwest side, edge of the city voted for Jerry Joyce.
Yeah, right.
There is nobody who thought Jerry Joyce was going to win. Even people who are, you know, who put, you know, if you're out in Beverly, where my mom and dad live, and I was just there now, there wasn't a block that didn't have 15-yard signs. People, but that's a protest vote. That says, I'm going to go with the person I like, not necessarily the one I think I have to vote for. I don't think looking at the 14 candidates and the fact that people thought Willie Wilson was kind of charming and funny, or they thought Jerry Joyce was a guy that grew up with, that has no bearing on, I have an existential desire to throw the bums out.
You can't discount the fact that the Ed Burke scandal.
Yeah.
Lori Lightfoot did a great job branding the four top candidates as the Burke Four, whatever it was, the, you know, the Gang of Four. But there is this sentiment that, you know what, enough of the corruption. We need someone from the outside. And it just feels like maybe that's a protest vote, but I would not discount that from the practical
camp. Well, let me give you two pieces of that. One is enough of the corruption. We need somebody new, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But the counter to that is Donald Trump was the bad girlfriend. I agree with your analogy, but Donald Trump was the bad girlfriend that we ended up marrying.
Right.
And even though it was an election.
Because that always works out.
And it hasn't.
Right.
So, therefore, is National different than Illinois or than Chicago?
I just don't look. I think everyone wants to look at this larger region, and I hear your point, isn't it? But I don't buy the idea that people wake up every day and say, "I'm so sick of the corruption. I got to do something different." I think they say, "Who do I feel I have the most identification with? I'm going to go with that because I got to. This is like a throwaway vote, and then my real vote's in a month and a half." Because Ed Burke got elected with 55% of the vote, so all this whole, you know, idea that we all want something different, you know, you kind of go with the devil you know.
And obviously, Preckwinkle and Lightfoot will both be in here at least a couple of times before Election Day. When's your next TV appearance, Hype Woman?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I've been slotted in to fill in for dead air time and a whole bunch of other things. So I got I had a whole new part of my resume.
Okay, we'll stick around here. Yeah. We have some each morning.
That's right.
7:19. We've got a great MVPP, as always, coming up. Stand by for that. And as I said, the police commissioner, the superintendent, if you will, Eddie Johnson, because that's actually his title, will be here at 8:20 this morning as well. Coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
My boy Snoop, Snoop D-O-double-G, I am Steve Cochran. This would be the Steve Cochran Show, then, 1,324 strong. It's the 1st of March, so please date your checks to the show accordingly. Bridget Gaynor's here, and Bridget, we all have aging parents. We all know that we're aging as well, and we all know that the cost of nursing homes is crazy high, right?
Yes.
And the system to get in generally involves surrendering your property. And then if you have any value left in your property, this is if you can't pay cash for it, maybe you can get some of your house back. So anyway, there's a guy on the phone who's got himself quite a system. His name's Terry Robinson, and Terry joins us now. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine.
You live in
Thank
Houston?
Thank you for having me on your show this morning.
Well,
yes,
appreciate you being on.
Yeah, just outside of Houston, about 30 miles in Spring.
Oh, yeah, I know Spring, Texas, sure. You've done the research. You've done the math. You have a plan for your own future. At $188 per day at the Holiday Inn, it's cheaper to live at the Holiday Inn than it is to go into a nursing home.
That's what it seems to be.
So that's the average cost for a nursing home now, $188 a day?
Well, from the things that I found out, it could be as low as $130 a day.
Uh-huh.
It could be as high as $235 a day. So I think it's more of a sliding scale. It just really depends on the facility and how much they charge. And I think there's a direct correlation between what you pay and what you get.
So
I have had several people who've made comments that said that they've experienced paying over $100,000 a year just for family members. Mm-hmm.
So it's $60 a night for the Holiday Inn. It's cheaper to stay at the Holiday Inn, and you know, you got the restaurant downstairs. You got people making your bed. You know, you got people taking care of you.
Yeah, and you quite possibly might have a better facility and better care staying at a Holiday Inn than you would maybe at a independent living facility or you know, any type of a nursing or retirement home.
I didn't realize that hotels had long-term stay discounts. So you get that, and you have the senior discount. I love, personally, I'm a big fan of the continental breakfast at hotels. So that's it's guaranteed. And I like you point out that there's a Holiday Inn in Hawaii. You could go stay in Hawaii. Like, you could see the world and be taken care of.
You know, I've even discovered that there's a Holiday Inn in Bali.
Oh, wow. Go to the Bali.
Yeah, there was a... Yeah, the island, you know, in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
And so it was an article in a newspaper in Adelaide, Australia, and they ran talking about this post, and they posted a picture of a Holiday Inn in Bali. So I didn't even realize that was the case.
Are you going to turn this into a business?
I hadn't really thought about it because I'll be honest with you, for this, when I posted it, I didn't post this, you know, thinking, oh, well, this is going to go viral and everybody in the world is going to see this. So, I mean, going into this, there was no, you know, thinking about a business or anything like that. But, I mean, who knows? We might change our mind and, you know, decide to sell T-shirts or something.
There's a niche here for hotels, and, you know, and occupancy issues and things of that nature.
In Chicago?
Well, everywhere. I mean, there's old folks and people that, you know, don't have the money to spend to go into a nursing home everywhere. Now, of course, the problem is hotels that have to take on the liability at some point of older folks and the extra care they need. But, you know, if you've just decided the house is too much and you don't want to go into a nursing home, why not slide into the Bali Holiday Inn?
Yeah. Well, you know, and quite possibly, you know, as the baby boomers are getting older and retiring, who knows? I mean, hotels might start having hotels specifically for retired people or people over 55, you know, kind of like retirement communities that, you know, are all over the country. So, you know, for people to actually live in.
Yeah,
so
Walgreens. I mean, who pictured a Walgreens clinic 10 years ago, a walk-in clinic, and now you get that. So why not? What do you do for a job?
I'm in sales and marketing.
Of course you are. Listen, man, I appreciate you being on. Thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet. At 728, we'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, it's 7:38. A little shift in plans here. We thought Superintendent Eddie Johnson would be by after 8. I think we're going to talk to him here in the next few minutes. So we will stand by for that. And I believe we are going to do another exciting edition of the hottest game show in America. It's not one we just invented the other day. It's really been catching on, building momentum for years. And I'm talking about the misspelling bee.
How many times, Steve, in your career has a guess is late all the time? Guess early? Not so much.
Never.
I never have a guess.
Never.
Early.
And I've never had a no-show early. You know, where they don't come in before they're scheduled to not come in?
Not only a guess. This is a high-ranking,
no, I get it.
Very
I'm
important.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
I'm impressed that they're like, hey, we're 20 minutes early.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Dave Hawks play again when?
Tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock in Los Angeles against a Kings team that has dropped 10 in a row, and then they turn right around and play Sunday night in San Jose. So that'll be the tough one.
Got to have both.
They're both tough, but I mean, this is, you got to get the one tomorrow.
And we don't know if Crawford's starting tomorrow or Sunday.
We do not know that.
Okay, but I would assume it'll be tomorrow, and I think you said that yesterday. David, you know, you're the booze hound on the show.
I see you always say that, but it's been proven I'm not, but go ahead.
I don't know how it's been proven.
I'll just play along. I'll play along with you,
study
Steve.
You've seen.
I'll humor you. Go ahead, yeah.
Bridget, do you ever enjoy an adult beverage?
I do.
Okay.
Any I mean, not like at this time of day.
Usually, but I mean, like, there's
and
always
not like
the first.
Dave.
He's gonna label you a booze hound.
No,
I'm just telling you.
No, I doubt that.
I'm actually comfortable with that.
Do you have a preference?
Could be called so much worse.
Do you like
have a
wine?
Preference?
Do you like?
I do. I kind of depending on what I feel like. So either a Cabernet, a Stella, that's my favorite beer, or like a vodka tonic. Margarita, like if it, you know, the spirit moves me.
So you're
feeling a little
very
warmer.
Agile.
I am. Look, you got to be flexible. Yeah. You got to, you
adjust
know,
to
you got to be able to
present itself.
Exactly.
You got to be ready. Right.
Right. You can't be so rigid.
Well, the reason I bring this up, Dave, is exciting news. Mm-hmm. It combines breakfast with booze.
Ooh.
Lucky Charms inspired beer.
I heard this.
Lucky Charms beer.
Are we going to get into some ethnic trashing here? Right. What's I don't like.
Hey, it's good to have the Irish girl here.
Exactly,
on Lucky Charms
right.
Day.
I mean, I feel like this is, you know. I mean, it's March now. We're getting ready for St. Patrick's Day, and this
right.
is how you think of it?
This is a marshmallow-infused beer. And there won't be any leprechauns in the can, and you probably can't pronounce magically ridiculous. But toasted marshmallows and dehydrated marshmallows are among the key ingredients in the mix. Mm. Also dry-hopped with Galaxy and Calypso hops. Wasn't I in a band called Calypso Hops?
I think you had the Calypso hops.
I think
once.
So, too. Yeah. It has sort of a pillowy body and a slight cereal taste.
A pillowy body.
Who doesn't want that in their beer?
I love Lucky Charms, so this is...
This is good news for you?
Well, yeah, I think so.
It's a limited release beer put out by the Smart Mouth people. It's called Saturday Morning.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
Saturday Morning, very colorful can with rainbows and stuff on it.
Wake me when it's golden crisp.
Golden crisp
then
is here.
I'll be all okay. over.
Wait, is it with Lucky Charms, or they're just kind of making the connection?
Yeah, I think they're making a connection. They certainly did it in the marketing. I don't think they float little tiny Lucky Charms guys in the beer.
Yeah, what color is it?
But that's how you can make it your own. That's
exactly.
The thing.
Customize it. Right. You know why? Because you got to be flexible.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Got to be flexible. Superintendent Eddie Johnson will join us in just a second. Yeah, sure. Come on in. We will also, here he comes right now, as a matter of fact, we will also, after 8 o'clock, have Dean. And coming up a little later on, live music. Oh, and Tim Anderson from the White Sox will be here as well.
Yeah, I'm excited.
He'll be on the phone because he's at spring training.
Well, be here.
Hit a home run yesterday. So, every time a Sox player hits a home run, they come on the Steve Cochran show. That's what we're trying.
Joe was editing some tape of him this morning, and I like it because he was swearing in it. So
Tim Anderson.
Yeah, so it was fun.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming over. We appreciate that. And I know it's been a very busy couple of weeks, so let's jump right in. Are you really enjoying all the media attention?
You know what? I'd rather be doing the normal stuff.
Really? What a shock that is.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Smollett case. Anything new we need to know, or do we know everything we need to know? Because I'm of the opinion the public doesn't get to know everything.
Right. You know, there's additional things out there. And, of course, we've already had the bond proffer hearing, so I can't really disclose any additional evidence. But what I will say is this. The things that are not out there yet does not support the way he described it.
I hope you got the message that I sent, because I share in the chorus of folks to say thank you for sticking up for the city the way you did, and sticking up for African-American folks, and sticking up for people in general. Victims as well, obviously.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, we have made a lot of progress in this city over the last 3 years, and I just won't tolerate something that didn't occur to blunt that progress. So, you know, we have an amazing city. We have amazing people that live here, so we should stick up for our city.
There is a concern that celebrities get special attention. Would you address the rumor that's out there that the entire police force was dedicated to the Smollett case and you did nothing else?
No, that's simply not true. You know, there's that rumor out there that we took investigators away from homicides and shootings and things of that nature. That's just simply not true. The individual detectives that investigated this case are the ones that normally investigate hate crimes and things of that nature.
Superintendent, how important was it for you to make that speech to the cameras during the Smollett case? Because a lot of times a superintendent or an officer is going to get up in front of a media and they're going to state the facts of a case. They're going to get off the stage. How important was it for you, but also for the police department, to make that speech?
I think it was very important because I think that at the end of the day, you know, Chicago, we got a bad rap for a lot of things that are undeserved. And I think that it's important for me to stand up for African Americans and also to make the case that, listen, this didn't turn out to be what we thought it was initially, but it shouldn't take away from people that are victims of crimes of that nature moving forward.
Well, that's incredibly important. The last thing you want people to do is not report.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I'll say that, you know, we investigate all hate crimes of that nature and with the same vigor and the same resources. The difference was, in this particular case, we were able to track down everything and gather physical and video evidence. But at the end of it, the witnesses came forward and then closed that loop for us.
Bridget?
Look, I think that, you know, as much as you hate to see whatever prompted him to go down this road and all of it, I think that it was handled really well. And I think when you look at the way the rest of the country was so focused on this and Chicago and the typical conversation that the country's had around the police, it couldn't have ended better because it was a process that was out in the open. It was handled relatively quickly. But also, you guys didn't go and take any cheap shots, which could have been easy to do at that moment.
No, you know, listen, we treated him as a victim until the very end. You know, we didn't change directions until the 47th hour or the 48th hour that we had him in custody. And I think that's important for people to recognize. You know, there was a lot of rumor, innuendo, and just gossip out there. But the fact of the matter was he reported a hate crime. So it was up to us to treat him as such until, you know, there was time not to. But I still want to put out there that he still has the presumption of innocence, and he'll get his chance to tell his side of the story.
Is it difficult to work on a case and do your investigation when it becomes the focus of national media and you're hearing things like Fox said police officers told us this, insiders? Does it get in the way of the investigation?
It does, because what happens is, you know, you get a lot of things put out there in the universe, and unfortunately all those things we then have to track down. So we have to utilize resources that could be invested in something else, but it's not. We have to track down all those rumors and gossip that's put out there to make sure that that isn't in fact what actually
happened. Well, what do you do about a bad leak? What do you do about a leak to the media where a fact comes out and you go, this is just not true? How do you decide if it's something you address or you don't address?
Well, if it's something that we think could be an issue for public safety and things of that nature, then we have to, of course, address it. But it is frustrating when just because a lot of things were just not true that were put out there. And when where those things come from, I don't know. But I tell you this, Steve, if you want me to believe what you're saying, sign your name to it, and then I'll believe it.
That's the world we grew up in.
Will there be charges against the brothers?
They got no promises of immunity or anything like that. So we'll continue to let this play out, and then we'll see.
I don't want to speak for investigators here, but can we all agree that if you go into Crafty Beaver and you spend a few $100 on rope and chemicals, you may be questioned? It doesn't seem like the smartest guys on the planet.
Yeah, that could be a problem. But, you know, I'll say this. I want to commend the detectives because they did a phenomenal job in tracing this down, because it took hours of work to do it. But, you know, we don't catch criminals because they're real sophisticated. We catch them because they do dumb things.
Thank God for that.
It was interesting, the role of camera. So they wanted this thing to be caught on camera. Mm-hmm. Didn't get caught on camera. I don't know if you saw Trevor Noah. He's like, hey, you're an actor. Looking into the camera is your only job. So you got to figure out where the camera is. But then you find out that they're in the Crafty Beaver. The Crafty Beaver has a camera. You're able to see all the stuff they... I mean, that was really interesting.
The elevators
twist
in the building, yeah, they right had cameras. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, let's give the security guard at Crafty Beaver... That's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Give the security guard at Crafty Beaver some credit as well, because even though he didn't stop these guys from leaving, he at least went up to them and said, hey, fellas, I got to ask you, what are you doing with the stuff? Mm-hmm. And that's enough to slow down the process and maybe create a little suspicion and doubt and all of those little things, I would say, play into catching bad guys, right?
It did. And you know, let's face it, Chicago has the most extensive camera system in this country. You know, I think London is the only municipality that has more cameras than we do. So that certainly aided in the investigation, and I can tell you that I don't think that they thought in a million years we'd be able to track them down the way that we did.
Glad you mentioned the cameras. We're going to take a break, come back, because I got other things to ask you about. But the cameras themselves, whenever I hear people say it's an invasion of my privacy, I can't believe it. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the folks that monitor the cameras don't care who you're making out with in an alley. The cameras are used to go back and look at where a crime may have been committed to see if there's evidence of it.
That's absolutely correct.
If we had enough people to sit there and monitor 24/7 what everybody in Chicago was doing, that'd be a big office.
Exactly.
Hang on one second, if you would, please. Superintendent Eddie Johnson.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson's here, and I'll make no secret of the fact that I think you're doing fine work, and I appreciate it. Now, here's the deal. We're going to have a new mayor. And in having a new mayor, one of the big discussion topics is the amount of money that gets spent. So I'm going to give you a second here to talk about the need for a police academy, because suddenly that's a political football.
Yeah, it is. And that's unfortunate. So I'll say this. You know, if we want our police department, our police officers to be 21st century and to be the most well-trained and professional in the country, then we have to invest in that. And the simple fact of it is, our current police facility was built in the 1970s, and we've just outgrown it, and it's antiquated. So we need to do better. If we want our police officers to be the best in the country, then we have to treat them as such.
Politically, do you agree with the mayoral candidates that are in the runoff that both say, can we just wait on this until a new council, until a new mayor?
No, I think we need to move forward on that. But what I will say, I think we need to do the other things too, investing in communities and health care and things of that nature, educational and job opportunities. But we also need to move forward with this, because when is the time right? I think the time is right now.
Is there anything that's part of the police academy that is something that clearly could be cut? You know, the masseuse for every officer, that type of thing?
I wish we had that. But, you know, I just want to be clear. It's not just a police academy. It's a public safety academy. So the police department, fire, OEMC, all of us will be training there. And it's imperative, especially given the world that we live in now with potential terrorist threats, that we all train together. So this will give us the vehicle to be able to do that. Right now, we're unable to do that.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson's here. Bridget, speak to the politics of this as well with Eddie, because here's the deal. You have a job. You're a cop. Mm-hmm. You're a cop first and foremost. But you have a job where politics becomes a consideration. Regardless of who the new mayor is, there's going to be times when the mayor's going to say something that serves political interests that's directly contrary to what the interest of the police department is. So how do you maintain the morale of the police department to believe the city's behind him? And how would a new mayor fix the relationship with the police department, which I believe there's fractures in?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that whoever, either one of these candidates who enters, there might be some trepidation on the part of the rank and file of the view of the police. But look, the police is it's a personnel organization. It's run by humans. Like, yeah, sure, technology is important and the equipment's important. But, I mean, as we just talked about in the investigation, it's people who go out every day and either do an okay job or they take it to the next level and do a better job. And that's impossible to measure. And the difference between that is the support that they feel from their bosses and the political infrastructure and the whole city. And so, you know, it's kind of like Congress. People may not like Congress, but they like their congressman. A lot of people who, you know, may feel like, oh, what's going on with the police department? They still appreciate the police who are on the street every day. And I think you got to figure out a way, as someone who's in politics, to separate out the easy, you know, 15-second soundbite that might make you more popular with one group of people or another, and the fact that there's thousands of men and women who are out in the street every day really making difficult decisions about how much they put themselves out there. And that's matters
to
our city.
What do you do when you feel like you need to address the troops? Do you go to your commanders and say, I want you to get a word to everybody that this is a political moment that'll pass?
Yeah, sometimes I'll do that, but oftentimes I'll go out there and talk to the troops, you know, personally, because they need to know what's going on, you know, not just with the superintendent's office, but in the mayor's office. And I think that one of the things that I learned as a patrolman, we would often get messages sent to us, but we never knew why. So I think the internal communications that we've built in the last few years is immensely great, because we spend a lot of time trying to explain to them why we're doing a particular thing so that they won't push back on it and they'll accept it better.
Superintendent, the news out today is that a federal judge may actually assign the monitors for the consent decree. Mm-hmm. This is an issue that's come up in this mayoral campaign, but it's also an issue that you have been on the record on about being open to a consent decree. Here it comes. The monitors are going to be. What can we expect from monitors being selected and from the Chicago Police Department when it comes to the consent decree?
So what we can expect is this: the monitor will ensure that we're doing taking the steps to make the Chicago Police Department more professional. They'll ensure that we do that. But I want to make this clear. You know, the mayor and I didn't wait for the consent decree to be implemented to start the reform efforts. We did that 2 years ago, and one of the highlights of that was we put our use of force policy out for public comment 2 times. So that was a Chicago use of force policy. So in terms of the rank and file, you know, we've already begun a lot of the things that are contained in the consent decree, so they won't see a big
change. You, from a rank and file standpoint, when it is a politicized process, and everyone will say, if you're a rank and file police officer and you're looking at this, that some federal judge out of D.C. is telling us what we're supposed to do, how do you keep morale up or send the message to the rank and file that this is a good thing, not a bad thing?
Yeah, because, you know, what it will ensure is that we get the resources that we need to maintain our professionalism. You know, and we took a lot of time, and it was painstaking, but we had a lot of voice in crafting the consent decree. So we were very careful to craft it so we're doing it with the police and not to them.
Your men and women feel like they're being heard?
Not right now.
I think they're in a good place, and I think we can see that with the reductions in crime that we've had. You know, this year, year to date, we're down 44% in murders, 24% in overall shootings. Our robberies, burglaries, and thefts are at 20-year lows. You know, so I think with the police officers' hard work out there, along with the fact we've rebuilt some of those relationships in the community, I think we'll see a better Chicago.
And it's not a job that you asked for or campaigned for. You've had it now for a while. You like it?
Yeah, you know what? I tell you this, Steve. Of course, I didn't ask for the job, but I think that I'm where I'm supposed to be because I'm seeing the changes in the police department that we want to see. Because I tell you this, I desperately want the Chicago Police Department to be a department that everybody in this city can be proud of.
Everybody is. You look great, but everybody always wonders about your health. Even and I listen. I get it. As a man, the last thing you want. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine. But for the sake of the public, because they have a right to know, how you feeling?
Well, I feel great. You know, I had my kidneys checked, or kidney rather, checked a couple of months ago, and the doctor told me it was functioning better than his. So,
I'm in pretty. So you good said shape. We got to get that checked,
right? So I'm feeling great, but thanks for asking.
Well, I'm always checking it. Listen, I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, and thanks for what you said about the city. I know you meant every word of it, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Yep. Anytime.
Commander Eddie Johnson. This is the Steve Cochran Show in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
it's Friday. Woo! Wee!
Friday.
Woo! Wee!
TGIF.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Steve.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson came in.
Almost birthday, Steve.
Thank you very much. Superintendent Eddie Johnson came in early, so here's the good news. You get to have bonus time with us today. We'll get two full segments in.
What?
Yeah, it's exciting. I know you had plans for 8:20. We'll change them.
Well, I was told that I was going to be only cut today because of that.
Right. No, Superintendent Eddie Johnson came in early. He said, I can't possibly interrupt Moron Entertainment. Let me go on now. So.
Did he say anything about those pictures of you and I posing without our shirts on?
Yeah, he said that has to stop.
Implicated in the Jesse Smollett case?
He said two words, property values. I don't know what that meant. I don't know. Do you have big plans for the weekend before we get started?
Well, I'm going to host a Q&A with former SNL star Bobby Moynihan tomorrow night.
That's a previously postponed one.
Previously postponed, right?
Well, my tickets for the previous one still work?
I believe if you had tickets for the previous, those have all been refunded, so you can purchase new ones.
Okay. If I had tickets for a Rolling Stones concert I didn't attend, can I use those?
You can use those at any venue in Chicago.
Okay. And what will you and Bobby Moynihan be talking about? Saturday Night Live, I'm thinking?
I figure he gets asked that all the time. So, you know, favorite characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it like being on SNL?
Sure. Who needs that?
Do we really? But here are the questions I'm thinking. Do we know what kind of gum he enjoys?
Oh, nobody asks gum questions anymore.
Do we know? You know, Barb Walters hasn't asked the if you were a tree question.
You should say if you were a flowering bush.
I just read this. It's beech nut. So go next.
Do they make beech nut anymore, their grandpa?
I have no idea.
I did used to love beech nut gum.
I did too.
Wow. Such a terrible name.
They do still make it. You can buy it on Amazon.
Oh, there you go.
I'm one of the three people in the world who like the blackjack gum.
Yes. Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
Stuff was nasty. Just a look at
black licorice.
Oh, it's horrible. Dean, do you like it just to be different, or do you really like it?
I like it.
My mom likes it too.
I like the taste of it. It's bitter. It's.
Do you like black coffee?
I like the taste. It's bitter. It just doesn't sound.
It reminds me of myself. It's bitter. It's dark.
You like black coffee as well?
I do like black coffee. Yes. I think it might have something to do with being Greek, where you know the spices and things tend to be a little on the savory and bitter side.
Okay.
That's my analysis.
I like my coffee like I like my
entertainment reporters?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's what I was going to say. Yes.
Dark and bitter.
All right, we come back. An update on Luke Perry's health. He apparently had a stroke.
52 years old.
Yeah, crazy. Glenn Close news. She still didn't win. And reviews of not one, not two, but three different situations, movies, including Star Wars.
Situations. I'm going to suggest to the Academy that that's what they call them at the awards.
And now, the award for best situation. More with Dean in a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720. Top man, pro and steady.
Important to have the mic on back, Dean. Yes.
So,
Mary.
Dean, there. John DeCoste brought his new puppy in studio today, Madison. And so, Dave Ennett sat on Steve Cochran's lap holding Madison.
Really?
Yes. And I changed your Facebook profile picture to that photo.
Terribly out of nice.
And so, one of our WGN's own, Amy Rutledge, commented under the photo, "Aw, John, were you going to surprise me with a new puppy?"
And we should say that Amy Rutledge, our friend from Channel 9, has twins, and John, you're the father of one.
I am the father of one of them.
Yeah. Just one of them.
Yeah. Just one of them, yeah. I want to be greedy.
Quite a medical miracle.
I don't understand why I was sitting on Steve's lap, though.
Yeah. No, well, you don't understand. I'm the one that was minding my own business.
I suggest you get an answer before you have to go to the HR office.
No kidding.
You know, it's a new thing.
I also, excuse me, I made a discovery during the break. I was going to tease you with something.
Oh, boy.
Because I just got an email from AMC Theaters offering me free popcorn because my birthday is this month. And your birthday is also this month. It's on the 14th.
Yeah, when's yours?
31st.
I know.
And I wanted to double check, so I wanted to make sure that it was the 14th, as I thought, and it was. But, so, you know, I Googled Steve Cochran's birthday, and it verified your birthday, but also it showed me that you're dead.
I tell you, that's why Dave sat on my lap, because he didn't think there'd be any trouble.
There's an obituary for Steve Cochran.
That's got to be Steve Cochran, the actor, because, I mean, by all accounts, I'm still alive.
Apparently, you died in 1965.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the guy I was named after. My mom had the hots for this B actor named Steve Cochran, who mysteriously died on a boat off Marina Del Rey with four hookers.
A notorious womanizer.
Foreshadowing?
Notorious womanizer Cochran was married and divorced three times. Uh-huh. Was reportedly having affairs with Mae West, Jane Mansfield, Joan Crawford, Ida Lupino, and Mamie Van Doren.
Yeah, you imagine how tired I was?
No wonder you died. No wonder you're dead.
So anyway, happy birthday to me. I think that was your point.
I think people, there's going to be a rush of people sending cards and gifts to Steve.
And Mary, you have to make two moron cakes.
I know, two moron cakes. They're right.
I have 2 weeks left.
Do you know any of my movies other than Grumpy Old Men? In 1950, I did The Damn Don't Cry. In 1951, I did Tomorrow's Another Day.
Boston Blackie, you're in?
Uh-huh. In 1953, I did Back to God's Country.
Didn't you do Wonder Man?
I did. I did Wonder Man in 1945, and I did Suspicion in 1945. That was Boston Blackie booked on Suspicion. Hard to believe that didn't win an Academy Award.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And that was 16 years before I was born. You talk about acting.
You're incredible.
You're quite the actor, you tramp.
Did you know I was only 48 when I died?
Yes. Yeah. You were very young when you died.
Lived fast life, though, didn't I?
Woo. You're going strong, though, in your second life.
I really am.
You're going to be 58, or 60, as your brother says.
How do you think Steve Cochran, the actor, other than this Steve Cochran, the actor, how do you think Steve Cochran, the actor, feels when he comes down as a ghost and he goes, "Really? You have my name? Really? You? Baldy?
This is you? Who I'm often mistaken for?"
All right, at 8:27, do we have any good news on Luke Perry?
We don't really have any new information about him at all. They're keeping it very quiet, which, of course, obviously is they're right and probably makes a lot of sense. What we do know is that Wednesday he apparently suffered a massive stroke. He's only 52 years old. Suffered a massive stroke. I had never heard anything about him being unhealthy or you know, being a candidate for something like this. It just shows you some people are genetically predisposed to things like that, and why you should check with your doctor and make, you know, get checked frequently. But there was some talk, internet talk. Thank goodness for the internet, where we can always get bad information. internet rumors that he was put into a medically induced coma. His representatives say that that is not true. He is under sedation, they have confirmed, and under observation right now. So really, that's all that we know. But
and we don't know about family history or any warning signs or any of that.
Nope. Nope.
Very upset because I was in a movie with Luke Perry, you know.
What?
Yeah.
What movie?
No, it's I was in a band. Do you not know how this works?
No, I was in a movie, Normal Life, in 1996. I had a couple lines. I
how
never
do I
met
not
him.
Know that?
Yeah, that was my only claim to fame in a movie.
Is that your only movie?
Yes. Doing the Steve Cochran show every day is no claim to fame, but her being in a movie
right. That was her, literally her only claim to fame.
Ashley Judd was in the movie, too. I didn't meet them. I met the director, John McNaughton. That was very exciting.
I love John.
Yeah.
And Mary's being modest, but co-starred with the other Steve Cochran in,
yes.
in that.
Yeah. I didn't
she
meet
was
him.
In Boston Blackie.
I heard he was really good looking.
John put up on his Facebook or Facebook friends, he put up a picture of him with Luke Perry yesterday, and it must have been from the set.
Could've
not
been.
John DeCoste, John McNaughton.
Yeah,
John
I was going to say.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like,
sorry, Mary looked
sorry,
at me and I go,
John.
No, it's,
sorry,
not. It's not me. It's not me.
Yeah, but there was a picture, so Mary's not lying. There was
because it was from Chicago.
Yeah,
it was
a Chicago
done in
movie.
Chicago.
19.
Dean, what was Luke doing? Because he did not want to do the 90210 reboot.
Well, he's currently starring in that CW show Archie right now, where he plays Archie, you know, from the comic books.
Oh, okay.
Riverdale's
father,
yeah.
Riverdale.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing right now. And he just hadn't said whether or not he was going to be in this 90210 reboot or not. That's all that we know about this.
Scary deal.
I sort of give him, his representatives, and his family a lot of credit. They're not throwing
not putting
a lot of information
releases.
Out there.
Yeah.
They're concentrating on his health, which is obviously the most important thing.
What's Glenn Close going to do after not winning an Oscar?
She is going to...
Huge failure that she is.
She's going to have to settle for the role that she originated on Broadway, starring in the musical version, a movie musical of Sunset Boulevard that is going to be made. She will star in that, and I can't think of anybody better than her to play that because she was so good.
Stella! It's not the right one.
That's
I just wanted to throw that out there in general.
You know what? You said Stella, and that is alcohol, so I am going to give a pair of tickets away to the 5th Annual Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo in Chicago at Plumbers Hall on March 9th and 10th. Get tickets at ChicagoWineAndSpiritsExpo.com. 7th caller, please.
She normally fires off that free giveaway whenever I mention Trump, and I hadn't mentioned Trump all morning.
Oh, my gosh, Steve. So now I'm going to have to give another pair of tickets away to the 5th Annual Wine and Spirits Expo in Chicago at Plumbers Hall on March 9th and 10th.
Uh-huh.
Get tickets at ChicagoWineAndSpiritsExpo.com. 7th caller for that as well.
How have you not mentioned him all day?
You know, Friday.
I thought today, isn't it every Friday you talk? Let's talk Vietnam. Don't you have a regular segment?
Vietnam Corner. Movie reviews. A Madea family funeral.
Oh, are you as sad as I am that this is going to be the final Madea movie?
Let me check. Nope.
Have you seen any Madea movie?
I literally have never seen a Madea film.
There have been 15 of them over the past 20 years.
Good for him, man.
It's interesting.
For stealing money from the public like
know.
That. Good
I don't
for
know.
Him.
It's an interesting character. I have to say, I mean, the movies are all schlock, but the character's interesting.
Coming from a guy who appreciates The Rock the way
yeah,
you do.
I just, you know, watching it, you're like, I don't necessarily understand what's happening, but I do like the nuance of him playing an old grandma.
I like the fact that he's made that kind of money off the schlock for all these years. Good for him.
Started at the Regal Theater on 79th Street. That's where, you know, he credits Madea taking off and has turned into his multi-million dollar, maybe billion dollar empire that he has right now. That's, you know, Tyler Perry Productions is all built on the success of the Madea movies.
Mm-hmm. Does he produce stuff?
He produces a lot of movies and television shows. What he ought to do is start putting his name on
something. That's what I'm saying.
So people know that.
Greta is the Greta Van Susteren story, I assume?
The Tyler Perry movie, just for review purposes, Dean's Let's See. And if you like the other Tyler Perry movies, you're going to like this one as well. Is my way of saying I pretty much agree with Justin.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't get it, but people were rolling in the aisles laughing when I saw it, so somebody loves
Fantastic.
It. Greta is a is Nail Biter. It's a really pretty good thriller that stars Chloe Moretz and a French actress, Isabelle Huppert. I love the movies of Isabelle Huppert.
Isabelle Huppert.
And Chloe Grace Moretz.
That's all my French right there.
Greta. Greta.
That almost like a German. That was German.
A little Flemmy. Well, is it any good? Is it any good there, movie. Pierre?
It is. It's a really good nail biter about this woman who takes this new in town, young, innocent thing under her wing, under the auspices of let me help you, let me show you the ropes, and it turns into a really weird, stalkery, suffocating obsession kind of story. Neil Jordan directs this movie, who does great jobs with movies like this. Dean's List B on this one.
And
Steve, I know you can't get enough of Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
I love them. Love them.
I know that you would have probably watched the same old version of A Star is Born anyway several times this weekend.
I watch it 7-8 times a day.
If you go to the theater this week, for the next week, they're doing what they're calling an encore version with 12 additional minutes that have been added to the movie. More songs, more footage, more dramatic scenes, or as I like to call it, this is stuff that they didn't think was good enough to put in the original version. now they're putting it back in.
I can't hear you. I'm on the way to the theater.
Steve likes to be first in line for these kinds of things. So it's all over for the 1 week only. The encore version of A Star is Born.
You on a radio Sunday?
I am, and I'll be talking with Tyler Perry.
Oh, cool.
About his new movie.
Does he have a new movie yet?
The Recall Theater. I'm going to try to talk him into not giving up the Medea character.
How dare you take this from us?
How dare you take this away from us at this time in our nation's history? Also, the stars of Dear Evan Hansen. That's
good.
Over at the Nederlander Theater that I gave a great review this week. We'll have both of the stars in to talk about that.
All right, man. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
That's Dean. We're back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know, I like to be the center of attention on my own show, but I got to be honest, I haven't mind giving it up today because Maddie the puppy is here. It's John DeCoss and Jackie's new puppy, Maddie. And that is one, I don't want to use technical term any, but that is one cute friggin' dog.
I feel bad. She's not real.
Oh, is that right? Animatronic?
Yeah, there's batteries.
She could be battery operated. Yeah. She's that size.
She's just hysterical. Yeah.
Now, how much does a dog like that eat in a day? Is it just like a couple of bites of kibble and then run around? And
actually, she's a quarter of an actual steer.
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, that's what we've been feeding her.
What do you feed a puppy? I don't even know.
Puppy food. Little half a cup of puppy food.
So do her big dog friends in your house take her food?
No, we separate them. She's about a block away. We put her about a block away.
Do the neighbors mind that you go into their house?
No, they seem to be okay. They're okay. They make the food for us, so it's good. That's where we keep the cows.
We have a return guest in studio, one of the bravest people I know. It's Kim McNeil. But, Sandberg, I'll let you do the introduction here.
Kim McNeil, we know her from the Ross K. McNeil Foundation. That is Kim's son, Ross. He passed away from a brain tumor, pediatric brain tumor. Are we at 6 years now, Kim?
Coming up
at 6 years. And his birthday is coming up, and he would have been 17. Mm-hmm. And so they have a big event coming on, and they've partnered with Brian McCaskey to put on a birthday party so that kids can have more birthday parties.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you.
Where's it going to happen?
It's going to be at Knollwood Club up in Lake Forest.
Okay.
And we are really excited about the event. There's a lot of special things planned.
How do people get involved?
They can hop on our website, r33m.org, get a ticket, make their plans for next Friday night, March 8th, which is, as Mary said, Brian's birthday and Ross's birthday.
R33. Why 33?
Hockey number. Stays with you forever.
And yes, and he loved hockey, but he also loved a particular color. What color?
Color orange.
And that led us to you because we saw a story about you in an orange Jeep.
You're right. You're
right. All
right.
So what happened with the Jeep?
The orange Jeep goes like this. Orange was Ross's favorite color. And in 2012, Jeep released their special, you know, edition color that year, which was orange. And he saw that car driving around and said, that's the car I want. And, you know, presumably to take on to college, which did not happen. So our family got an orange Jeep in 2012, and he got to grin and drive around in that for a year.
Amazing.
And now I get to take care of it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
Thank you.
Now, how is his big sister? She's off at college, or is she out
now? Fantastic. She's off at college. She's accomplished almost 2 years, has two left studying photography. And she works very diligently. She photographs for the Department of Athletics at Miami and also does then work for us as well.
Wow.
So we're lucky.
Fantastic.
To think about the advancements
great
made, we're in 6 years' time. Are you familiar? I mean, obviously you familiarize yourself with the with what's happening in brain cancer research, pediatric brain cancer research. Are we seeing strides? I hear it all the time about different cancers and how we're getting closer to at least better treatments, if not a mm-hmm. cure. Is that the same when it comes to pediatric brain cancer?
I would say yes, with this caveat that we can't go fast enough. 13 children every day today are going to be diagnosed with a brain tumor. So that's the pace of the game we have to keep up with. And I would also say this. Yes is the answer. We're making incredible strides. Immunotherapy is a great example. We're involved in a partnership out at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia that has a brain tumor, the largest brain tumor tissue bank for children to do research. But all of that is really predicated upon how much we fund, in other words, enable that research to happen. So right. I've used this example over and over because I'm not a neurologist, oncologist, and never will be. So understand it this way. There's this incredible medical community who has the ability to get us there. It's like having a car without the keys. If you don't have the keys, you're not going to go anywhere. And the keys are funding that research. That's why we do what we do.
Do you see over time, and because, you know, being in the situation that you're in, do you see the government playing a big enough role?
I can say that we are funded. Pediatric cancer is a huge umbrella. Brain cancer is a small piece inside that. So the National Cancer Institute gets about 4%, actually a little less, than of the federal funding to go towards our disease state. Inside that, brain cancer for children research is less than 1%.
Right. How does that work? Because if I am an advocate for a particular cause, do I have to have people advocating specifically for my cause? Because cancer is an umbrella term for a million cancers. There's not one cancer organization that decides where the money goes.
You're right. No, it is. That might be, honestly, very genuinely part of the problem. You do have to advocate and lobby for really any cause on the Hill, right? So, but from our foundation standpoint and many others that do fantastic work in this field, we look at it and say, we can't wait for that. If that comes our way, that is fantastic. If it rolls down the hill, if you will, that's terrific. But meanwhile, this has to happen from a private funding standpoint. That's why we go out and do the work that we do, because we can do it and can make a difference. And it's amazing. People say, you know, well, maybe I don't have enough. You know, when you look at funding pediatric cancer research,
sure.
right, you think, well, I don't have $1 million. I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not whatever. Can I really make a difference? So maybe I'll just bow out because I'm not sure I can make a dent. That couldn't be more untrue. We can make such a difference at really every level, advancing research forward. And, you know, in the world of, you know, what you can do graciously with what you have, we want to be one of those things that you consider, because children's pediatric cancer research isn't maybe at the top of the awareness scale, which is another thing that we take on as our responsibility to fund research. But at the same time, with help like you're giving us today, we need to raise awareness that this diagnosis can be controlled and we can be in a better place for children.
Is it part of the problem people don't want to think about it? I mean, how hard is it to think about your kid having cancer?
Exactly. And I think it's also, perhaps, it's also maybe that it's not going to happen to me. So maybe it's a little easy to walk. It's a hard topic to talk about, and it's a hard thing to consider that someone in my life
in my case, you know, our little boy might be affected by this, and it's not exactly something you want to wake up and think about.
I told you this last time. Again, the most amazing people in the world are people like you who've gone through hell like this, and instead of running away from it, you dive deep into it as a legacy to Ross.
Well, Ross asked, he said to you, I want to make sure no other kids have to go through this, so you had to do it. If you weren't wanting to.
That's right. The three of us made a pinky promise to Ross and in my home that you are not allowed to break that. So forward you go. And we do believe that we can make a difference in this. We have made a difference in this. We're funding great research. And so Mary's exactly right.
Well, Sandberg, you got involved on a deeper level here. So what have you learned?
I did. I've learned a lot about what doesn't break you. You know, makes you change the world, basically.
Sure.
And how you have a choice, and I don't blame anybody who goes through this and decides to curl up in a ball and never leave their house.
I
don't judge that at all. But the power that comes from people that get together and decide to make a change is really incredible. And so I've been impressed from Kim from the moment I read that Heidi Stevens piece on her. And then also, obviously, it's growing. Ross's awareness, you know, the Blackhawks are very kind.
Yes, they are.
They do a lot of, you were one of the five charities, I think five, at their Hockey Fights Cancer Night evening. You know, like, players have been great. You have great relationships with Coach Q and things like that. And then now Brian McCaskey from the Bears is like, that's my same birthday. I want to get involved. And so he's, you know, a big thing behind this. And then also the Liberty Auto Group, they're giving...
Liberty Auto City.
Yeah, they're
amazing.
Giving...
Amazing. Liberty Auto City up in Libertyville, their friends and suppliers, and most especially Top Coverage, has made it possible for us to acquire a 2018 new orange Jeep to raffle off.
How cool is that?
How cool is that?
How much are tickets?
Right. 33.
What a strange combination that is.
Isn't that crazy?
And I think something that Kim always says that Ross would say, you can't have an orange Jeep and not smile. You know, like orange, it's impossible to be.
Yeah. Orange is a happy color.
Spreading love,
How do we get tickets for the Jeep? Can we do it online?
Tickets for the Jeep will open next Friday, March 8th on Ross's birthday.
Online.
Online at r33m.org. $33. You can buy as many tickets as you feel confident that you will win. The other cool thing Liberty Auto City has done is there are, guess how many upgrades to the Jeep?
I'm going to go with 33.
There might be 33. That's right.
That's awesome.
And then we're going to draw the winner, and it's a national raffle. Anyone's, you know, available to get in just through the website and buy your ticket. And then in September, we're going to have an event to be announced date. September is Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, and we're going to draw the winner of that special thing.
A couple of texters, 847, I met Kim at Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Our daughter passed away from pediatric cancer. Keep going, Kim. We need you. Let's help the next kid and family in line.
Thank you.
And a 630 texter, hi, my youngest daughter is the assistant director of marketing at Miami of Ohio. I'm sure she knows your daughter. I hold you and your family in my thoughts. My husband died of brain cancer 2-3 years ago this month. God bless you.
That's an example of your earlier point that it's actually tighter in our world than we probably imagine.
Sure.
When you statistically, I say 13 children are diagnosed today, that probably doesn't sound like an amazing number to you, right? Then you get stories like those texts and you find out it's closer probably than you think. And this is what we're in it. We're in it to do it. So
you're an amazing person, but I know you get tired of me telling you that. So keep up the great work. Thank you for doing this. Brian McCaskey and Liberty Auto City, partner with the R33 Foundation to celebrate. Ross would have turned 17 on March 8th, but we know he's watching and guiding and making decisions.
I'm so happy.
Ross Gay McNeil. And the best way to go to get tickets and information and all of that is where?
R33M.org.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks, Steve.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I don't have a plan, Jeff, for the weekend, so let's do our cheap plugs now. Dave, what's your weekend look like?
My weekend actually looks like a trip to Champaign to see the Wildcats and the Illini on Sunday evening.
Streak's going to start at any moment now, and I say Sunday.
Boy, I hope you're right.
Right. Maybe. When's the Big Ten tournament start?
It is 2 weeks from this past Wednesday at the United Center.
Okay. You get tickets now, probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think, although, you know, they always draw well in Chicago. So I'm sure there are tickets still out there, especially for the first couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great event, and it's been a few years since it's been in Chicago, so it's good to have it back.
Yeah, NCAA regional here this year too, right? If not, let's just pretend it is, because I thought it was.
I know there's one in Milwaukee.
Oh, it's Milwaukee? Well, I'm sure it's not here.
Let's announce it here. Yeah. But possibly. Yeah.
Final Four is here at
that's
the
Minneapolis.
Station.
Minneapolis. Sorry.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm emceeing an event for the school, for the arts wing of the school. I get to get up on stage and say, oh, come on, guys. Uh-huh. Come on, guys. We need some money.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that move. Samberg?
I am. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's a good problem to have.
I'm sorry. I was thinking, I wonder if Justin's going to say, raise some money, and my kid is the most talented artist here. Did you see tape artwork from the last, right? He was honored.
He was one of the finalists in the art show, yeah.
Didn't you say Miles is a real talent in the family?
Yeah, that's. I'll get up there and say that to all the other parents. Yeah. So if you can give some money.
John, what are you doing this weekend?
Tomorrow night, I'll be at the Briar Ridge Country Club in Schererville, Indiana.
Yeah. Fundraiser?
No. Just me.
Just you making stand-up money?
Just me doing funny stuff.
I didn't know you did the country club circuit.
Yeah.
Do you have an ascot, or?
No, that's Madison.
What are you doing, Steve?
We don't have enough time. Mary Vandeville, what are you doing this weekend?
What do you mean? You could have said something.
I don't have time. Oh. Mary, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going, ballroom dancing tonight at Ballroom City in Villa Park. And
Ballroom City, I love that.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Where is Ballroom City?
It's in Villa Park on Villa Avenue, top of the old bank.
It's right next to Tile City.
And Martini and Martini Corners.
By Party City?
There is a Martini bar underneath it, Josephine's.
Oh, I would hope.
Yes. And then I'm Grand Dog sitting as well.
So you're just going ballroom dancing for fun?
They have dances there every Friday
night.
You're
the best.
Yeah.
You're
I haven't been for a while.
I mean, ballroom dancing is usually like McMurray's doing, like just a contest kind of thing. But I love that Mary goes, hey, it's a night out in the town.
Well, I go by myself because my husband won't go. So,
it's a great way to meet men.
Dance with random older men.
Steve Grzanich.
I have a birthday dinner tonight, a birthday party tomorrow, and I'm hoping that John will let me babysit his puppy at some point this week.
Is it your birthday or somebody else's birthday?
Somebody else's birthday, Friend's birthday.
Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Busy.
Big weekend. You guys going to, jumping the balls? That kind of thing?
At Chuck E. Cheese? Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Why not?
Tim Anderson from the White Sox coming up. Stand by for that. We're also going to play the Miss Spelling Bee. And we got a tribute to Lady Gaga. We got music on a Friday coming up after 9:30. Stand by for all of that. We're back in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
I care less about what Harper and Machado situation. Man, I know where we headed at. You know, I'm on the south side, and that's where I want to be at. And, we got a great group of guys here.
Here's Tim Anderson. He swings at a curveball, rips it just inside the third base line, down the left field line. It goes into third base, goes Angle, being waved home. Adam Angle, the throw to the plate from left.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, here's what we know. It's spring training.
Super Joe.
It is. Spring training. Getting it done, man. This is the best time of year until the better time of year, which is summer. Summer in baseball.
You're going to spring training.
I am. Yeah. The White Sox called. They said, listen, we might need somebody to back up Tim Anderson at short.
Oh, wow. For those listening on CLTV, you've turned your hat backwards. You're in full catcher mode right now.
It's a baseball look. And really, nothing looks cooler than an old guy with his hat backwards.
It really does.
Really, it's a strong look. Tim Anderson joins us from here at Chicago White Sox. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's Tim.
Yeah. How you doing, Tim? It's Steve.
I'm doing good. How are we doing?
All right, Tim. Tim, say hi to Justin and Dave and Mary and John and everybody.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Good morning, everybody.
So, listen, I know it's early in the desert, but I see, you guys all the time, and I'm watching how this is developing, and I'm worried you're not having enough fun. You guys look too serious to me. I need you to have more fun.
Well, we always having fun. What are you talking about?
Okay, you're having fun now. Are you having fun out there? Are you having fun during the games? Are you having fun being one of the best young teams in the league on the come?
Yeah, definitely, man. We have a lot of fun. We're learning. Got a lot of great group of guys. And, we've been coming together as a team and, excited. Excited to see what's going to happen.
Tim, you broke into the majors at the age of 23. Now you got 2 years under your belt, a little more than that. How much do you look at your experience now and kind of consider the way you can translate it to some of the younger guys around you and sort of help them learn through what you've gone through adjusting to major league life?
You know, when I got up, it was, you know, so much video and a lot of things that go on. So, you know, I kind of use those things and, you know, just to see where I was, you know, back then to where I am now, man, it's been, you know, it's definitely been a heck of a road. And I can say that I learned a lot and I'm still learning. And, you know, I don't think I'm kind of nowhere near to the player that I want to be. And, you know, man, my game is steady growing and, you know, I'm just excited about it.
Tim, you came into the league and there were, you know, just on your body type and what kind of defensive player you were, that you were going to be a speedster, you were going to be a guy who put bat on ball. But you, last year, I mean, 20-plus home runs, you were much more of a power hitter than anybody in Chicago expected. Where does that come from? Do you change your approach to the plate? Do you change the way that you look at every at-bat?
No, you know, there was nothing that I didn't work on, you know, trying to hit more homers. It was just, you know, I was making more solid contact, you know. And I feel like, you know, that my bat half came a long way from then to now. So, you know, I think the power numbers is it possible that they could go up? But, you know, no one knows. But that's nothing that I didn't, you know, I didn't really focus on trying to, you know, lifting the ball more. It just happened.
What do you got to do to be better? What's the one thing you're working on?
Everything, you know. Everything.
No, I said one, Tim. What's one thing?
You know, I don't want to focus on one thing and then I miss something. So, you know, I try to lock in on everything. But, you know, I feel like my defense come a long way. And, you know, this offseason I really locked in on, you know, my offensive part of the game. And, you know, I feel like it's getting a lot better. And, you know, I feel like I'm in a good position right now. And, you know, I feel more comfortable and at the plate.
Hey, Tim, I know you play shortstop, but, you know, when you get into one of those 13, 14-inning games and people have to come off the bench and do different things, what's the next best position you can play?
I can play anywhere. I'm an athlete. So I feel like you put me anywhere on a diamond.
Left tackle?
So you know, if you want me there, I can do it.
Let me ask you about the guy who is now playing to your right. Yoan Moncada making the move over to third base. Just give me your thoughts. How does he look? How much of a comfort level are the two of you gaining with him on the other side of you now?
Let me ask you, have you heard much about it? Yeah. Let me hear your take on it.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen it that much, but it's sounded good so far. Everything I've heard has been pretty positive.
Well, it's got to be like dating, man. You got to learn everybody, you know, you got to find out what you guys do and don't do.
Yeah, I can tell you it's going to be a heck of a show, man. You know, just off of him being an athlete, man, and, you know, just his body type. You guys have seen what he did in second, so, you know, I don't think nothing's going to change from that. I think he's going to continue to go out and be the dominant player that he has been. I think his case is the same as mine, you know, as far as, you know, learning and maturing in the game. And, you know, he looks good this spring, and I think, you know, I think he got a big year ahead of him. And, you know, I'm just excited, and, you know, just give us, you know, more athletes on the right side of the field. You know, I feel like we could do more. And, you know, his range is unbelievable. So, you know, it gives us a lot of more range on that side. And I think he's going to do a heck of a job, man. I'm just excited. You know, now he's on my right. He was on my left. But, you know, nothing changed. The love's still the same.
Tim, you have become, as Dave mentioned, you really are one of the spokes, the elder spokesperson for this White Sox team. What is it like working in Chicago? I know you work with the community, with your foundation. And you have really become the face of this squad. Are you comfortable in that role here in the city of Chicago?
Yeah. You know, I don't consider it work. You know, things I do in the community, man, that just come, you know, that just come from me, being myself. You know, it comes from the heart. And, you know, man, I just do what I love, you know, and just basically I'm in embracing, you know, the position that I'm in and just having fun with it, you know, kind of have a rough background. So, you know, I try to, you know, just keep living life and, you know, the future's bright and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, life can go in a lot of different directions and you've been very open and honest about the tough childhood and the tough upbringing and it led you to start a charity to help guide Chicago's at-risk youth. What do you want to say about that?
Oh, man, I just, you know, I started my nonprofit because I had a close friend that got killed in gun violence. And, you know, with me being on the South Side, you know, it's a lot of that go on. And, you know, I think it's, I think it's huge. You know, that I step out in the community. You know, it's you know, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it from the heart, so you know it's easy. You know, just going in the community and showing the kids that, you know, that it's possible to make it to a high level, and especially being a kid that looks like them, and you know, kind of know going through those same stories, and you know, I kind of know what it's like. I've been in those positions, so I kind of know what they're going through. So I just really go in and not necessarily talk about what's going on, because you know I've been there, so you don't necessarily want to talk about those things. So I kind of just go in and just show them that, you know, life is beautiful, and basically put a smile on their face, and more so just have a good day, and just to kind of remind them that you can have fun in life, and, you know, life is beautiful.
Tim, it's been well documented that there's a lack of African-American players in Major League Baseball, much more of a pipeline coming from Central and South America. But, you know, that storyline continues to develop. Are you seeing younger and younger African-American players coming into the league, coming through the minor leagues, and wanting to choose baseball over other sports?
Yeah, I see. You know, I think the White Sox do a great job. They have the ACE program, and you know, there's a lot of African-American guys in that program, and you know, it's a lot of talent, and you know, a lot of guys out of there go Division I and go on to further, you know, get scholarships, go on to further education in their baseball career. So, you know, I think it's growing a lot, and you know, I'm just excited. You know, it's going to be excited to, you know, especially in what the White Sox doing with those guys, and you know, you just get to see a lot of talent and a lot of different, and you get to be rare. You know, you get to be rare, so you get to be one of those guys in the lead, and you know, hopefully just make a big impact to, you know, hopefully keep the train moving.
Inspiring and stuff. Dave, I'll give you the last word here, but I really feel like Tim has come a long way since the start of this interview. Oh, I think Tim is having fun.
I think he is having fun.
Sounds like he's having fun.
You were a heck of a basketball player, if I'm not mistaken, growing up. What kind of led you to baseball as opposed to maybe going in a different path?
I was okay basketball player. I wasn't a heck of a basketball player, but you know, I was just you know, thinking that, you know, in the NBA, I mean, the average height is 6'4", you know, so I just felt I'm not 6'4" or above, so I just felt like my speed and my talent would play better in baseball, and that kind of led me to it.
Seems like you made the right call. Yeah. Anderson's League of Leaders is Anderson's with an S, AndersonsLOL.org, or check out the Facebook page. Looking forward to it, man. We are the White Sox radio station, as you well know, so we'll talk throughout the year. But I'll see you in Arizona, and keep up the good work.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Nice kid.
Yeah.
Right?
He is. Yeah. He is. He's one of the older guys on this team. 25?
If that.
Well, Dave, your age, my age? That's a kid.
Yeah, I mean that respectfully,
he's one of the older guys on the roster. Yeah. Born in 1993.
Good problem to have.
Well, yeah, but Steve's going to be 58 this year. So.
Easy. Oh, easy.
2 weeks from now.
Easy, easy. Wow. Where's my icy hot? It's 9:23. Let's come back and play the Miss Spelling Bee. Right? We need a listener at 312-981-7200, and we will have some of the folks here on the show try to spell very, very difficult words. We'll misspell all of them. When we finally get the one we can spell, that person will be a winner, and the person on the phone will win as well. 312-981-7200 next.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Little tiny animal day here on the program with John and his little puppy, who left another gift for us. I don't know if you heard.
Really?
And
I love gifts. Where are they at?
Yeah, it's something wrapped up for you right in the
Where?
Other room.
I won't put my face in it. I thought I'd open gifts. I take my face and just rub it in and see what it is.
That should work. Lauren Paris and Robert Deason are here. Lauren Paris, Robert Deason, and friends present Chi-Town Sings Lady Gaga Monday night at the Den Theater. Tickets at thedentheater.com. They are next door in the performance studio, and they are about to sing for us, and we'll talk to them.
I love it.
A little bit. So here you go. Lady Gaga tribute.
You and I. Take it away, guys.
Thank you.
time since I came around. Been a long time, but I'm back in town. This time I'm not leaving without you. You taste like whiskey when you kiss me. I'd give anything again to be your baby doll. This time I'm not leaving without you. I said, sit back down where you belong, in the corner of my bar with your high heels on. Sit back down on the couch where we made love the first time, and you said to me, said, something, something about this place. Something about lonely nights and that lipstick on your face. Something, something about my cool Nebraska guy. Yeah, something about a baby, you and I. It's been a few years since I let you go. I couldn't listen to a joke or rock and roll. Muscle cars drove a truck right through my heart. My birthday, you sang me a heart of gold. Yeah, they play that music loud and no clothes. This time, I'm not leaving without you. Oh, 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 sit back down where you belong, in the corner of my bar with your high heels on. Sit back down on the couch where we made love the first time, and you said to me, say something. Something about this place. Something about lonely nights and that lipstick on your face. Something, something about my cool Nebraska guy. Yeah, something about a baby, you and I. Don't pay rent, cause you can't get a house you're ever bought. There's only three men that I'm a serving my whole life. It's my daddy and Nebraska and Jesus Christ. And something, something about the chase. 6 whole years, I said. Something about lonely nights. So I felt lipstick all over your face. Something, something about just knowing when it's right. So put your drinks up for Nebraska, Nebraska, I love you, you and I. Since I came around, been a long time, but I'm back in town. And this time, I'm not leaving without you.
It's hard to feel the rush, to rush the danger. I'm gonna run right to the edge with you, where we can both fall, but in love. I'm on the edge of glory, and I'm hanging on a moment with you. Out on the edge of glory,
Chi-Town Sings Lady Gaga, which is coming up at the Den Theater, great theater in Wicker Park. And what a great concept to do a night of Lady Gaga, because, of course, some tremendous, tremendous music.
And a slight interest in her right now, too.
Yeah, and a slight interest because of what happened. Lauren Paris and Robert Deason are here. They will be accompanied by others. But the show Chi-Town Sings Lady Gaga is coming up this Monday, March 4th.
Before you do the money song, can you guys hear me? Okay. Apparently, they're going to only answer in music.
If they can't answer, I want to say in that studio, he is sitting down at the keyboard and Lauren is standing. And so what I want to know is Lauren going to sidle up to him for the, just like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga reversed roles, where she's going to walk over to him and sit down.
And you'd like the crane
keyboard
shot as well, where you
right
know you see the
Poe,
walk up.
Our video guy's in there. I want him to go behind them and get a close face thing, and we'll see if they draw Justin in.
Head on shoulder.
Yeah, if he buys into the romance that Lauren is going to give
find
us.
Out. Right. Let's find out.
Let's see. Their names are again?
Lauren Paris and Robert Deason, and they will be accompanied by friends. Chi-Town Sings Lady Gaga at the Den Theater in Wicker Park, Monday, March 4th. Here they are with, of course, the song, your favorite song.
Yeah, Shallow.
Shallow.
Love
it. Take it away, guys.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling. In all the bad times I find myself longing for change. And in the good times I fear myself. I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself.
Right, saved it right there. How great was that?
Woo.
Those guys sounded awesome. All right. Well, listen, again, where do we see them and when?
Oh, I can tell you.
Okay. Sorry, I got something else in my headphones. They are going to be Lauren Paris and Robert Deason and friends are Chi-Town Sings, Lady Gaga, Monday, March 4th at the Den Theater. Coming up to dentheater.com.
We will come back with Bill and Wendy in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Oh, we're still here. Okay, I thought we had another break.
Here we go.
The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be in just a second. There we go. And Wendy and I just did the song together.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. That was so uncomfortable to watch, just so you know. It was so uncomfortable.
Because
it was
uncomfortable to do. Because no. They're in love. Is
yeah,
that
that's
right?
Why.
Yeah. You felt the same way about Bradley Cooper and Gaga, so maybe you're the problem.
All right, maybe I am.
I'm the one who's jealous because I was sitting on your knee a few hours ago.
It's been a very strange morning.
I miss the puppy. I'm so mad.
Did they leave?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, you miss peeing and pooping, so.
Pete and
Mary's really went to
that. Is that a new podcast?
Peeing and pooping? Why? John left. Did he say goodbye?
No. Oh, did he? He packed up his puppy and was stormed out.
I think he got out before management showed up.
Yeah.
And they were singing Shallow in the Hallway, and that was uncomfortable.
That was a really great rendition.
What about love, Bill?
What about love?
What about love?
What's wrong with some love?
What are you guys doing today? Actually, what are you doing this weekend? Got big plans?
Yeah, what plans?
Just busting my rhymes, yo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're doing your... Doing a couple of beat poetry open mics.
You know,
yeah.
In the world of possibilities, I did not see that coming.
Right. That's what I do on the weekend.
Bill busting his rhymes.
Yep.
Have you seen the movie 8 Mile? It's yeah. Very similar. That's what Bill does on the weekends. He does rap battles and yep. Basements of clubs in Detroit.
Been right. Doing it for years.
But you're not Eminem. You're more of a Mars.
I'm Peanut Eminem.
You're Peanut Eminem.
Yes. I melt in your soul, not in your hands.
One step too far.
Yeah. That's how he rolls.
I got to say, you know, it's been a busy week. It's been a news-filled week. It's been a tiring week, and it's almost time for you to start the show, and I couldn't be happier. But we'll be back on Monday, and I look forward to hearing the Bill and Wendy show, which starts in 3, 2, 1.